Turn with me into Zechariah 9:9, and I want to. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of ground to cover, but I want to tell you this ahead of time. So, if we as Christians believe that the Word of God is His love letter to you guys, that from today we got to make a declaration that we're going to start listening to the Word, and we're going to start following the Word. And a lot of times it may not make any sense, but we're going to do that because we believe He knows better than we do. Amen? And so I want to tell you a little bit about the first 8 verses in Zechariah 9, 1 through 8. So it talks about a king that God uses to conquer some of these small cities in Syria. And this battle king that God used was Alexander the Great. And he was a tactician. He was a strategist. And you need to understand that God can use anybody to get a message across. And some of them may not be as holy as y'all are. And some of them may not even look like you. Some of the people that God uses may not go to this church. And it's hard for me to believe that even. But here's the deal. God uses whatever He needs to use to get the point across. And obviously we can tell that He's speaking to America today by the mess that's going on out there. Amen? And He's fixing to do something about it, I'll guarantee it. He'll be ready for it. So then we move into 9:9, and we talk about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's talking about Jesus, and this is a prophetic word that come 500 years before Jesus was even born. So let's read it, and let's talk about it, and let the Lord work in your life today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous, having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So it says Jesus is lowly, if you were reading the King James Version. That just means that Jesus isn't puffed up. He's not always beating his chest. And we don't need that. We don't need anybody going around beating their chest, acting like they're better than somebody else. So He's setting an example. If you want to be a servant for Christ, you don't have to be the loudest person in the room all the time. Amen. Amen. You ever around somebody? I mean, they don't go to this church, but like other churches where you're just like, man, why is there any time when you could just shut up? I mean, that's a Greek word. I mean, I said it because you want to say it. You're like, is there ever a time like when you're just not talking? Because quite frankly, I mean, and you're going to have them over for Easter, so be ready. And then they'll go, oh, well, Easter eggs, that's not really a, you know, and they go through this whole dissertation. I'm like, gag me with a jackhammer, will you? I mean, they get on these kicks. Oh, you're celebrating Easter? Don't you know it's an unholy holiday and it's a fertility god? And la, la, la. Stick a sock in it. All we worship at this church is Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All the rest is just fringe benefits. So don't look at your neighbor and tell them, don't get mad. Don't get upset. We have Christmas trees here too, so send me an email on that. All right, let's get down to it. So the king is coming to you righteous and having salvation. So He not only has salvation, and you get salvation when you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, but I want to let you know that baptism of the Holy Ghost isn't a one-time event. Right, right, right. We're leaky vessels. You need to be filled daily. You go, I don't know if that's New Testament scriptural. Look it up in Luke 11 right after the Lord's Prayer. You are supposed to ask God to fill you daily. And if you don't want to be filled by the Lord, I'll take your portion. Supersize me. Amen? I wonder what that would look like if we were actually filled full of the Lord's goodness every morning. We're there casting out devils and laying hands on the sick, and people would be getting healed, and people would be growing in the Lord, and all these kind of wonderful things. So let's do that together. Let's just pray before we get into the message today. And maybe you got a loved one that needs some healing or whatever. So, Lord, we just pray for healing. We pray for scriptural revival, spiritual revival today. We pray that those who need to be healed would be, and those who don't believe would start believing. We've put our full trust in you today, Lord. We're going to drown out outside noise and cling and cleave to you and you only. We ask you, Lord God, to show yourself not only to a lost and dying world, but your church and your bride. I know that you died for your bride. And Lord God, we're going to work hard at spreading the good news that you still save today. Lord, I also pray for the offering today, that we remember, Lord God, that you have told us to bring the offering, not give it. And Lord God, if we was to give it, that would mean that we own it. And we don't own it. It's yours. We're just giving you back the portion that you mandate. So I pray today, Lord God, that that would be done. And it would be done in love. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's applaud the Lord on Palm Sunday. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in the right place, Jack. Go to Mark 11, and if all you guys are here when you leave, if you'd go out and sign up to help Shelby with the kids next Saturday, that'd be great, and we'd have it knocked out. She's doing a journey to the cross here on Saturday, and she needs a few volunteers, so do that, and take home a bulletin with you, and then you'll know all things have Bible, and be ready for the Good Friday service that'll be here, and put your hand on God's word. We're just going to pray. This is a very, very special day today, and we're going to pray that the Lord reveals himself to you in the ways you need. Lord, as we go into Jerusalem with you, we're reminded, Lord God, the different people who are gathered around. Some were followers, and some were scoffers. Some were phony. Lord God, so we pray that we're authentic as your children, and your Holy Spirit does its handiwork. In thy name we pray, Lord. Amen. So palm branches were used for a lot of things back then, and I'm not going to get into all that, but they're very sturdy, and people used them on roofs and all different kinds of things. So I think it's fitting as we get into the story that you understand there's reasons for everything that is in the Bible. And right off, after we get through like the first verse or two, we go straight into some red letter stuff where Jesus wants you to listen to this. So set yourself up for victory here as we read the story of Jesus coming. It says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and Bethpage at Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter, as you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever ridden, untie it and bring it. So let's stop there for just a second. So some of the things Jesus wants you to do may not fit in your natural little, cubbyhole. I mean, like kindergartners, they have, you know, where you're supposed to, all right, kids, go there, stick your shoes and your backpack and everything and put it in the little cubby hole. I was at a conference and some guy said something to me about it. He goes, you don't look like you fit in the norm. I go, what was your first clue? Amen. And you probably don't fit in the norm either. You guys like to color outside the lines. Amen. God likes people like that. God likes cats that are authentic and not phony. That phony reeks, doesn't it? I mean, just in the smiles and the little things. And I would just rather somebody give me the straight biz than smile at me and, you know. Amen. Let's do this here for just a second. And the only way I knew how to do this was, so he tells these two disciples, whether you believe it's James and John or Peter or whoever it is, we can argue in heaven, but they go and they just go burdenly because they're told to go. And sometimes when God wants you to go, it doesn't make any sense. It'll be inconvenient and maybe embarrassing. Do you ever do that? Like when you leave church, you go like, oh man, from now on, say it with me, from now on. Yeah, I mean, you got to have the face. When God wants me to pray for somebody, I'm going to pray for them. And you meet somebody at Walmart, and you're like, hold on. I mean, like, I couldn't, right, because she had groceries in her hand. I mean, you make up some real big excuse why you didn't do it. These guys are doing what God asked them to do. So when they go, and then the guy lets the colt go. So they're listening to God. Say that with me, listening to God. So I tried, it was trying to put myself in the shoes. So it'd be like you going, hey, you know what, we went to, God told us to go to Pastor Pat's house, get his garage door code, and get his Harley. And as the garage door went up, I'm standing there with my personal protection device. And you said, Jesus wants us to come and get the Harley. I said, well, Jesus may have told you that, but he didn't tell me that. I just threw that in. But so we're going to listen to the voice of what God tells us to do. So let's roll this video. This video has to do with listening to the voice. And I got this from Randy the barber at the garage the other night.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here and I fly a small airplane and I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing. And it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes. And something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm. Just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. Do you realize your head is full of voices? And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room, and about 4 in the morning, the knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
Stand with me so we can get into some prayer. We'll get right back into the Word. Thank you for being here, Lord. I pray that we tune out all the other noise in our life and adhere to the Word today. And I pray for a swift move of your Holy Spirit here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's get back to some red letter parts of this. Message today. So during Holy Week, you notice that the oppression or the confusion seems to ramp up a little bit. And I kind of told everybody this many, many weeks ago that I really felt this, and I don't say that much, but I did. I felt like this type of attack and things in the families and against the church and maybe even against your loved ones. It's not coincidence. It's not something that's phony. It's something that's supernatural. Yeah. And what the devil's trying to do is confuse people on what's going on out there in the world. So we need to follow the voice. So let's listen to see what it says here. It says, why are you doing this? The Lord has need of it, and he will send it back immediately. Verse 4, 11:4, it says, and they went away and found the colt tied at the doorside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? And they told them that Jesus had said that they let it go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw the cloaks on it, and he sat on it. So here we go with the palm branches or the palm fronds. And it says, many spread their cloaks on the road and others spread the leafy branches that had cut from the fields. And we're getting ready to go into this Hosanna dissertation where it talks about, you know, getting ready to go into, and he's going to say, these people are saying, save me, save me. And I wish all people would come to that point in their life where they cry out to the Lord. But a lot of times, Gloria, they get embarrassed and they don't want to do it, and there are other people around and everything. I'll tell you what's real embarrassing is having a loved one die and get carted off to hell when you could have turned him for the Lord. Here, watch this class. Grow up a little bit and quit worrying about being embarrassed. I got to tell you something that was kind of turned my stomach a little bit, to be real honest with you, that we're living in this generation here where people are, you know, they want you to act out and be all who you can be or whoever you are or whatever. I don't understand this whole thing. Some guy I was reading, and he said, my lifelong goal was to live my life. He goes, I wanted to become a dog. And I listened to this, and it was a guy from China. He said, my goal was to be a border collie. So he spent like $14,000, and he said, my lifelong dream was to be carted and escorted down the sidewalk on a leash. This is a true story. And so he had somebody make this $14,000 costume, and he walked on all fours down the sidewalk and had somebody lead him like a dog. Now, none of you find that strange, but I do. Here's the deal. things are getting weirder and weirder. And the goal from the devil is to desensitize you, that when you see this, you go, oh, that guy's crazy. No, that's what the devil's trying to lay down as the new normal. That's not created in the image of God, where your desire, well, first of all, we need to talk to his parents. What the heck were you teaching this boy? He wants to crawl on all four and defecate out in the lawn someplace? We've already allowed it for our children to use the litter box in the public schools. We're starting to get used to crazy. And those voices, watch this class, they don't come from God. That's not normal. That's demonic. And it's not of God, it's of Satan. There's no middle ground anywhere. You'll find that out soon enough. Amen? But here's the sticking point here. It says, they spread their cloaks on the road, and the others spread the leafy branches that they had cut from the field, and those who went before them, they shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Say that with me, Hosanna. Hosanna. Say it again, Hosanna. Hosanna. So save us. And if you've ever been saved before, you know what it feels like when God answers the prayer. Save us, save us. We shout it in the churches. We do altar calls for it, and we should, shout. And we should do that, and we should ask God to save us. Save us from what? Watch this, Mrs. Cope, everything. Save us from the demonic world and the demonic teaching and all the crazy stuff that's going on in our own country. Save us from that type of craziness. Save us from that. Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, save us. We cry that out in our churches. But there's something to this. So there's people, it says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And then as we move through Holy Week, I'll divulge the rest of it to you. But let's talk about the Hosanna thing for a second. So there's people that are in front of him, and then there's people that are behind him. And like I said before, if there's one thing I can't stand, is a liar or a phony. And they get up there and they kind of, you know, they're like, woo, he's coming, you know. And they didn't like the fact, first of all, that he came on a donkey. So they're kind of, you know, some people are kind of giving it the, you know, like, man, we really kind of thought he'd come on a horse. And we thought he would, you know, come in with the coat of armor and everything. Well, he's coming back on a horse, but not on this story. I'll ask you guys to stand with me, and I'm bringing Krista up. This is going to be kind of a long altar call, so stretch your legs out. But the one thing I think that I don't care for in this story is the same thing that probably Jesus didn't care for, and he knew that. And some of the scribes and the Pharisees, if you read the other Gospels, they say, hey, we rebuke your followers, rebuke your disciples. He said, if you rebuke them, I'll have the rocks cry out. So there's people before him, there's people after him, Hosanna, Hosanna. But some of these people that are shouting, save us, save us, went along with the crowd when Pilate asked him, he said, what should we do with your king? He said, what do you want me to do with Barabbas, the criminal? Hey, look at me for a second, class. Watch this. Tell me if this mows your lawn. Berger, what do you want us to do with the criminal? Release him. And what do you want us to do with Jesus? Crucify him. And the Bible says, let his blood be on us and our children. Here's what I always tell everybody. Here's the deal. However you live your life is the way you live your life. But don't ever call a curse down on your children. Don't ever do that. Don't ever live so far outside of the realms of Christ that you call a curse down on your own children. Children are sacred and special in the eyes of God. Born and unborn. Don't keep saying hallelujah. So this is the part that I think that I agree with the Lord, or I believe. Some of these guys that are shouting, Hosanna, they're phonies. Do you ever see a phony Christian? I mean, they don't go to this church, but like some of the other churches. I told you, I said, Miss Geese, I don't know how to, I can't judge anybody because I'm not the judge. So I just go, my wife said, well, what do we call them? I said, head scratchers. Do that. Look, you can look at somebody and just go, you know what? I can't judge you, so I'm just going to scratch my head going, I can't figure that one out. Because God told me I would know them by the fruit that they bear. Amen. We're going to let God be God. But we need to live authentic Christianity before the whole world out there. They need to know that this is a place of refuge where all people are welcome here, all people are loved here, and all people can be saved and repent of their sin here. Amen? I think that's the part that the world doesn't get. Well, Jesus loves everybody. He does. And he loves everybody so much that he died on the cross for them. And they are to repent of their sin, and they are to turn towards Jesus. Let me ask you this question. I was at Moscow last night, so we had some visitors there, and so the visitors were about my age, and they brought their mom and dad, who is like a generation older than me. And they came up to me and they said, we're just glad that you're authentic. And I'm thinking about myself, is that uncommon? I mean, can a preacher actually get in the pulpit and open up God's word and lie and then tell everybody in the congregation, you're all going to heaven one day? No, you ain't. Only saved people go to heaven. And you hold on for a second. That might have wrecked your religion, but let me bring it back here. Well, I don't know if I like that, Pastor Pat. Then you need to take it up with the author who wrote the book. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So during Palm Sunday, I want to do something extra special. We did this at the last service, and we did it out at Moscow. And we just, Lynn, if you dim the lights, just a fuzz. I don't know. I can tell you personally what saved meant to me, Tracy, when I got saved. I could just tell you that when I got saved, I knew I was so far from God that anything was better than what I was living. You guys are a little holier than me. And I just finally got tired of being tired. JD and I said, God, if you can save me, have at it. That was it. I got saved. He took my life over and delivered me from my old way of life. How could you not still shout Hosanna every Sunday when you come in here? Save me. Watch this, Carrie. Save me from myself. Because if you wasn't here, I'd destroy myself. Amen. My habits would destroy me. My eyes would destroy me. My surroundings would destroy me. And if I wouldn't destroy myself, the devil would destroy me. See, when you're a threat to the devil's kingdom, he's coming at you like Jimmy Crack Corn. And if you ain't doing nothing, if you're not affecting his kingdom, he probably won't bother you. He'll give you your salvation. Go, I can't have you anymore because you've given your life to Jesus. But what I'll do is I'll wreck your witness for you. And how does he wreck your witness? He can wreck it here in church. He can wreck it out there on Facebook and TikTok. Remember, you're the one with the exclamation points. Oh, yeah. Oh, if I was over there, right there. Amen. I mean, right there. Usually in the presence of somebody, the keyboard warriors don't have anything to say. They usually shut up. So here's what I'm going to ask that I believe the Lord wants me to ask you. This question, and maybe it's not for you guys, but maybe somebody that's watching the broadcast. Have you ever been saved by the blood of Jesus? Do you remember a day when you asked Christ to come into your life and just said, God, I want you to save me? Do you remember that day where you lifted your hand, Gason? When you just said, I recognize my life is so far from you. You have to recognize the condition of yourself and just got to go, I'm so far from God, I need you to save me. Do you remember that day? I do. I remember it. And then maybe somebody is here today and they say, you know what? I've never done it. I've never been saved. I've never given my life to Jesus. Today is the day for salvation. Today is. So let's all, as believers, let's just get together. And we believe that there's power in prayer and there's power in numbers. And let's just stretch our hand out to the Lord and pray somebody into the kingdom of God today. Wouldn't you like to be part of that? I would love for somebody to be saved today. I know the devil would hate it. So here we go. We're just going to pray. Can you feel God moving? I see God in you guys today. I see God in you guys today. I see the Holy Ghost working today. And maybe it's a friend you invited today. Maybe it's your son or your daughter who came and you go, not really sure, or they're not really sure. Let's pray for them right now. Or maybe you've texted them and you say, hey, watch the broadcast. You could get saved today. Let's pray that together. Lord, we believe that there's somebody in our midst today who hasn't been saved. They don't remember a day that they've given their life to you. They don't remember that day. Lord, I pray that that day is today. I pray that that day is today that they give their life to Christ. Would you like to make that your day today? And if that's you, if you hear me talking, that's just because God wants me to say this to you. If you don't remember a day that you've been saved and you want to get saved today, you want to give your life to Jesus on Palm Sunday, that would be a great day. What I want you to do is get bold, and I want you and your friend who brought you to slide out from your chair and come down here. We just want to pray for you and want to celebrate the move that you've made. Just come down here. We're just going to pray for you. We're going to love on you. Just step out of your chair right there and just come down here. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen to you in your life. And then the next thing I want to pray for is all those people who need to be saved from themselves this morning, from their ideas. Maybe they have mental things going on. Maybe they have physical things going on. They have spiritual things going on. Or they need prayers over their health. We want you to come forward. 1, 2, 3. Come out of your chair and just come down here. Don't even ask anybody. You just come down and say, I'm being obedient to God. And then I'm going to need my deacons and my pastors to come up and start anointing these guys with oil and pray for them. Each one of them. Each one of them that comes down. There you go. Start praying for all of these people. Hey, guys, look at me for a second. Do you know that these people are children of God? Do you know that God loves them and they're hurting maybe and they need prayer on their life and they may be through a situation? It's not just me and you that have situations. It's everybody across the world. And you have a situation, just hold your hand up and God just wants you to admit it. I got something going on in my life today, Larry. I just want you to, you know what? And don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand what's going on at this church service. Just say, I want God to come in and just touch me. I just want God to touch me. And God uses people like us to touch lives the same way somebody touched my life. Don't you think it's a good idea to be at church on a Sunday morning? I do. I think it's the best thing in the world. The Bible calls God's house a hospital, and it's a... Do you know that this place should be a house of prayer? This is where we should pray. This is where we should gather of one accord just by the love of Jesus and not try to figure it out, but turn it over to Him. So we're going to pray all together for all these people who are here, and those, I see a hand there and some hands here, and then those who are on the broadcast. I just want to pray for them right now. Would you pray with me for all these people that are... they're going through a situation. If that's you, if I hit a chord there, stretch your hand out so I know that you're going through a situation. Lord, I just want to pray for this brother and this sister and this brother here and these sisters, right? And I don't know everybody's situation. I know this young lady right here needs healing. Lord, you want this young lady to be healed.
Thank you.
Lord, I trust that you brought her here for a reason. She's not here by mistake. She's got good friends. Isn't that cool? Going to church should not be scary. Did you hear what I said? Going to church shouldn't be scary. Your friends that invited you here, they brought you here because they believe it's a safe place. Nobody's judging anybody at this church. We're not judges, are we? We're not judges, are we, friends? We're just people that want to do God's work. We're all wonderful people. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Healing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. So, Father God, as you got us gathered here today, we're praying for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to not only be released on each person, but be felt from the soles of the feet to the crown of their head to the tips of the finger and everywhere in between, Lord God. That they leave here different.
Yes.
That they undeniably will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they had a date with the King of Kings. You say that when you walk out the door, they can look at you, all you precious young people. Church, don't you wish you'd have got saved when you was young? Oh, Lord Jesus. When these young kids, I love you guys. I'm so glad they're in church. There is nothing better in the whole wide world than young people to be saved. If you see a young person in this church, you need to high five them. They could be any dang place, but they showed up at this church. It's a place for healing. Did you know it's a place of refuge? This is the safe place. Is in the care of the Lord. So Lord, when we leave here, we will undeniably know that we've had a date with the King. And there's families in this church right now I can see that are hurting. I see you out there. I love you, Tina. I love your family. Thank you. Oh, you guys. It's great to be in the house of God today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? That's just you praising God. Tell your neighbor not to get upset about you praising the Lord. Don't get mad if I'm shouting hallelujah in the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, His people said amen.